of the theme of the lesson this morning, but we'll take our format from Philippians chapter 4. So mark in Philippians 4 and then go back to John chapter 8. It's good to see all of you here this morning. Appreciate you being here. As Roy mentioned earlier, it's good to have some folks back with us that's been out, in particular Guy. We know he's been out for quite a while, so it's good to have him back with us. And I know he's glad to be back today as well. Appreciate Greg getting him here this morning, and I assume it was Greg this morning. So we appreciate him getting him here. I will say this. Let me make one correction on what I said earlier, and I think Will will be okay with this. When I sat down, Will said, you forgot to thank some of the men that helped with the VBS as well. And I do know some of you helped, and in particular Will. I think he said he put 4 staples in an elephant back there, and Amber only had to remove 2 staples. So he did part of his part too. So I'll be honest, I haven't had anything to do with decorations other than my dad is trying to build something back there, and I think he'll probably do that in time if Julie stays on him. But anyways, I know a lot of effort goes into all that, so we do appreciate everybody's part in that. I want to give a special thanks to Julie this morning. Those of you that are not in the auditorium class, you didn't know this, but when we pulled up this morning, I got out of the car and realized I didn't have my Bible, my notes, my disc, or anything. I left it all at home. So I winged it through class, and she went home during class. That's why she wasn't back here in her class, and got all my notes and everything. It seems like the older I get, the more scattered my mind is. I don't know what's going on, so y'all need to pray for me. But a special thanks to her this morning for getting our stuff here so we could have it to use. I do appreciate her doing that. What was the purpose of the American Revolution? I don't mean to do a history class this morning, but as I was thinking about this past Monday and thinking about Memorial Day, thinking about so many who have given their lives, so many who have sacrificed so much over the years to afford us the freedoms that we have today, to see our president and different members of the cabinet and to see people all over the country remember those who had given so much. I always think, each and every time that we come to that, I wonder if we do that just one day a year or if we do that multiple times a year. Because the freedoms that we have and the liberty that we have, that did not come cheap, nor easy, nor free. Freedom isn't free, right? It comes with a lot of sacrifices. And when you think back to where it all started, as far as this country is concerned, when you go back to that Revolutionary War, you go back to the late 1700s, where those original colonies finally decided, with regards to Great Britain, we're not going to be told how we're going to live anymore. And particularly, we're not going to be told how we need to worship. This state-sponsored church thing isn't working, and we want freedom of religion, among other things. So they fought a war over it. And obviously, a lot of lives were lost, and a lot of things were put at stake. For us to be able to become a country, ultimately, to have a piece of paper and a declaration and some official documents that says we're going to be able to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. A lot of times, we take those things for granted as citizens of this country, of just how blessed that we are. And I hope this past Monday, again, this lesson obviously was supposed to have been last Sunday. I wasn't able to be here. But as we think about Memorial Day and other things, how often do we really count our blessings and think about just how important that freedom really is? And I think my greatest fear is I think about that, and I know so many that have risked their lives or those who have given their lives and their families who have sacrificed things. I think the worst thing that we can do as a country, the worst thing that we can do as living citizens of this country is to go backwards into things that we know that don't work. After so many have lived and died to give us the freedoms that we have. It would be a shame to do that, wouldn't it? But I'm afraid so many times that's the case in our country. Liberty and freedom are precious ideas. It's defined us. And in order to have liberty and freedom, we fought for it and we've died for it. But I want to tell you something else that scares me even more this morning. Is to think about the fact that we are so blessed as God's people. That Christ has given everything He had. God gave His best for us. He shed His blood on the cross for us. And for us to go backwards and to put ourselves back into bondage. You know, the surprising thing about freedom and liberty is that a lot of times with all of our blessings, with all of our freedoms, with all of the things that we have going for us, we get so wrapped up in those things that we forget how we have them and why we have them, and sometimes make some very bad choices, and surprisingly put us back into a state that we don't want to be in. And I often think about the story there in Luke chapter 10 and in verse 41 of where Jesus was in the house of Mary and Martha, and he looked at Martha in contrast to Mary, who was very concerned about his words. But Martha, who was worried and troubled about many things, so often we become those Marthas in our lives. We're concerned about so many cares in this life, and what we end up doing to ourselves is that we chain ourselves back to the very things that, one, maybe those who died for this country have given us liberty from, but most importantly, we chain ourselves back to the things that Christ died to give us liberty from. Both are serious things. Obviously, the latter is the more serious. But the question I want to ask you this morning is this. How can we be free indeed? That's what Carter read for us this morning in John chapter 8 and in verse 32. He says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And they said, "Well, you know, what are you talking about free? We're not under bondage under anyone." Well, they didn't realize how they were under the bondage of sin. And his point is that if you are of the Son, there in verse 36, and if he does make you free, then you are free indeed. And we have that same opportunity afforded to us today. We can be not only free as citizens of this country, but most importantly, we can be free as members of the body of Christ. We can be free indeed, but here's my fear, and here's the problem. Is that sometimes because I get so wrapped up in the cares of this life, and you probably do the same, that the freedoms that we have through the blood of Christ, we're not really free. We allow ourselves to become chained yet again because we don't let go of the things that pulled us away to begin with. We don't let go of the sins. We don't let go of the worries and the anxieties. We don't let go of the things that we've been freed from. Rather, we hold on to them and put ourselves back into chains. What Jesus said to those Jews there in John 8 and verse 36 is something that you and I can experience every day. True freedom. True liberty. But we've got to learn how we can do that. It's not just becoming a Christian. It's not just being baptized. It's a daily thought process. It's a daily way that we live our lives if we're going to be free indeed. Free surely, as he said there. So how do we do that? I know sometimes this life can get the best of us with the worries and the stresses and the things that we face. This lesson is designed to help us to be free. Let's think about what that really means. As your Bible's marked there in Philippians chapter 4, turn over there with me. That's going to be the format of this morning's lesson. And I want to begin this morning by just saying, I think one of the first and most important things to being free is to count your blessings. You really don't realize how free you are unless you stop and count the blessings that allows you to be that. And that has everything to do with rejoicing. Notice what it says there. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. He says very simply there to the church at Philippi, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be gentleness known to all men. The Lord is at hand." Rejoice in the name of the Lord always. What does that song that we sing, "Count Your Blessings"? What does the first verse of that song say? Remember the lyrics? "Count your many blessings. Name them one by one." And then what? "You'll be surprised what the Lord has done." Why do you think that song says that? There's a lot of wisdom in that verse. It's because we get so wrapped up in this life. We get so busy. We get running around to so many different things. We get, like Martha, we get consumed by all the things that we're trying to do that we fail to count our blessings. And if we're not mindful of our blessings, if we're not worshiping God the way we should and rejoicing every day, then we allow ourselves to be put back into bondage. And the reason that it surprises us what the Lord has done is because we're not near mindful of that as we should be. But if we're going to be free indeed, we have got to be mindful of what He has done and what He is doing. Let's go over to Psalm 100. Well, a very familiar psalm, but I think it exemplifies exactly what our attitude needs to be, and that is to worship God with everything that we have. Psalm 100. We're going to have this opportunity here in a little bit to do this again. We're going to have that opportunity tonight as we sing to worship God. That's something that we all need to care about. And our singing and our worship and our praise to God is one of the most important things that we do here. And we talked about this just a couple of weeks ago about being engaged. But how excited are we about worship? How excited are we about singing, about praising God? If we're not, my question to you is this. If we're not excited about worship, if we're not excited about singing, are we really thankful for what God has given us? At least if we're not excited about worship, it doesn't suggest that we are. Maybe we are, but maybe we need to be more thankful. Maybe we need to count our blessings more, and maybe we need to be like it says in Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Enter into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless Him, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. Is that the type of mentality that we come to worship with? And in addition to that, is that the type of mentality that we live with every day? That we rejoice. That we count our blessings. That we're mindful of all the good things that God has done. Again, think about this. Let's take ourselves back to the beginning days of this country. Once upon a time, there were a people who fought for the right to worship God freely. Think about that. Let that sink in. They fought wars over it. They died for that. Are we that zealous about our worship today? Are we that zealous about worshiping God today? Take yourselves even further back into the first century to those Christians who lived under Roman rule. What did they give to worship God? They gave their lives too. We are so blessed in this country to not be in the position, at least currently, not to say it'll always be this way, but at least currently and presently, we don't have to give our lives to serve God physically. Now, maybe our mentality should be that we sacrifice more, that we should give more. Maybe that would help us worship better. But what I'm saying is that our lives are not endangered because we want to worship God. But it's not always been that way. And when it wasn't that way, when people's lives were in danger, what did they do about it? They fought for it. Are we fighting? Are we living? Are we serving with the same mentality that it once was among God's people, that we're going to worship God with everything that we have, even if that takes giving everything we have? I'm afraid sometimes it's not. I'm afraid sometimes we just kind of go through the motions and we really don't rejoice the way that Paul tells the church at Philippi to rejoice. I'm going to tell you something, friends. When we get to the point that we do that, we'll be able to truly say to God, thank you for what you've done for us. Think about this statement here. You can tell how much a person really appreciates their blessings based on how much they love and desire to worship God. Is that true? Based on the way I read Scripture, the way we read it there, I think that's true. If we're truly thankful, we'll worship God with everything we have and with every bit of ounce of energy that we have. Because if you look back to what Jesus said in John 8 and verse 36, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And a person who understands that they are free indeed is a person who always rejoices, in particularly in their lives, but most importantly in their worship. Now, is that you? Is that me? I'll admit to you this morning, I need to do better in that. I need to have more zeal in that worship. I need to have more desire to be more mindful of the blessings of God. And I need to live a life that rejoices more in God. And if you're honest with yourself, if we're all honest, I think we'll all admit the same thing. We can do better. We can be more thankful as we worship God. But if we're going to be free indeed, you've got to always be mindful of your blessings. Let's look at verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 6. Notice what it says there. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication. Here you go again. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Notice this quote, not mine, but I found a quote that I think says a lot about anxiety. A lot about the worries of this life. A lot about the stresses of this life. The very things that put us back in the chains through which we're given freedom from in Christ. We go back to that, but notice what the great effects that anxiety and stress and worry has on the body and the mind and the heart and the soul. Notice, anxiety is a thin stream of fear. That's really what it is, things we fear, that trickles through our minds. And if we don't cut that off, if we encourage that, and if we let it continue to flow, it'll cut a channel into which every other thought that we have is drained, And then the result is that more water comes rushing through, and there's a flood, if you will, of worry that flows through that channel. Think about that in real life. You've got maybe where water rushes to a certain area, okay? A lot of water drains in this area. You may have a nice landscape yard at some point. Everything's smooth. You get several of these rains like we've had here lately. What happens? Where that water goes, it starts cutting away. Now, it may have started as a small stream. It may have started as a small, you know, lower indention or whatever in the yard. But the more water comes through that, the more of the earth and the soil is taken away. And before you know it, you've got a big gully, right? Well, that's what worry and anxiety does. It may not seem like that much at first, but we let it keep working on us. And we let it keep flowing, and it cuts us deeper and deeper and deeper. And then before you know it, it's such a gorge in our heart and in our lives that all the other thoughts just fall right over into it. And we're put back into that bondage that we're supposed to be free from. If verse 6 had one message, what would it say? I think it says our second point, and that is release it. Just let it go. You have to let go of it and have to let God take care of it. Be anxious for nothing. Let it go. Because if you don't, it'll completely wash you out. Literally. We've got to throw it upon God. 1 Peter 5 and in verse 7, cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. That word cast literally means you just take it and realize it's something that you can't hold, that you can't control, and you throw that to God, you throw that to Christ and say, here, please take it. Because I can. It's not something that we're expected to hold. But yet, so often we're encompassed by that again because we haven't given it to Him. We're not free indeed so many times because we're worried indeed. We're stressed indeed. We're carrying the weight ourselves indeed. We're not free indeed because we're not relying on Christ the way that He intended for us to. Well, we can be free, but we've got to let go. That worry and that anxiety of life puts us in daily bondage. And I'll ask you something. Does worrying today ever cure tomorrow's sorrows? Well, maybe you can come up with some kind of plan eventually, but what really happens is that if you're constantly worrying about tomorrow and the next day and so on, what that does is that it empties today of any joy or happiness or strength you could have. I want you to think about that. Think about in your life, and I don't know that you can really number this or count this, but I wonder how many days in our lives that we've allowed to be ruined because we're worried about things that may or may never happen in the future. And we're not even promised those days. You ever thought about that? We're not even promised tomorrow. We're not promised next week. We're not promised whatever. We're only given today, and yet so many times we allow today to be ruined by thinking about something that we're not even promised in the future. Is it okay to plan for the future? Sure. It's not okay to worry about it because we haven't given it to God. Worry doesn't cure tomorrow's sorrows. And furthermore than that, as Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 27, which of you by worrying could add 18 inches to your stature? I mean, you can't even add one cubit to anything by worry, so why? Jesus said, if you want to be free indeed, well, you've got to give it to me and quit carrying the things that put you into bondage. We've got to release those things. We've got to let them go. And I tell you, the only way to break a bad habit, think about this. We're going to be doing something. We're just creatures of habit, okay? We're going to be doing something. And if we got a bad habit, and if that habit tends to be anxiety and worry and stress and all these other things that cause us to not be free, the only way to get rid of that is to replace it with something good. And what is that? Well, just like Ryan read for us this morning, Colossians 3 and verses 1 and 2, if you're raised with Christ, the good habit needs to be you purposely think on things above and not things here that bring you down. Again, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and you'll be surprised what the Lord has done. When is the last time that you did that? I was thinking about that this morning before I left my notes on the kitchen table and came to church. I was thinking about that as I was looking at them. And I don't remember the last time that I sat down and literally listed out all of my blessings. I did that earlier in my life, but I'm going to make it my goal to do that here pretty soon. And I challenge you to do the same. And I think we'll all be surprised what the Lord has done for us and what He's doing for us. He intended for us to be free, folks. He intended for us to be free from all the cares and the worries of this life. He's given us everything. We've been talking about the tabernacle out here. He has given us every opportunity, both under the old law, but most importantly under the new, to come to Him and to be with Him and to be at peace. And we put so many blockades between ourselves and Him. And that was never His intent. We need to release and let go of those things that hold us back. And here's the step that I really need some work on. I call it the chill out phase, okay? I need to chill out more sometimes in life. Maybe you do too. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know what that means? That means that we're chilled out. That we're not stressed out. That we're calm. And that we're collected. And that we're in control. We're not allowing things to get the best of us. You may ask, well, how do you do that when there's a storm raging? When there's a storm raging in my life, when the waves are boisterous, when the lightning's striking, when the wind's blowing, how can I relax? How can I relax in a storm? How? Well, the same way Jesus did in Mark chapter 4. He just slept right through it. Why? Because He knew He was in control of it. And that's our problem. We're just like the disciples were. We're in the boat with Jesus. We're going through the storm. And He's in the stern of the ship there as He is, in the stern of the boat there as He was in Mark chapter 4. And He's sleeping it away in peace, and yet we're in turmoil. Why? Because we don't realize He's in control of it all. So many times all we see is the storm. So many times all we see is the problems. So many times all we see is all the surrounding physical things around us. And we don't take time to realize that the Savior is right here, and He's calm. Why is He calm? Because He controls all that. And He can stop it at any given time. You can't. I can't. But He can. And the reason that I get so worked up, and the reason that we all get so worked up sometime, is because we forget who controls the storm. For whatever reason, we think maybe we can. But you know, there's not one storm I've ever been able to control in my life, have you? I get tickled sometimes. We talk about the weather a lot. We watch the weather a lot. We have a lot of, obviously, bad weather around here. But, you know, sometimes we watch the weather, and they'll give you like a 7-10-day forecast, and maybe 3-4 days out, they'll say, you know, it's going to be raining, it's going to be storming, whatever. And then the day before, the models change, and they say, well, it looks like it's going to be sunny now. And what do we say sometimes? We'll say, well, they called the storm off for tomorrow. No, they didn't. Nobody calls a storm off. The weather just changes, and they realize it. We're not in control of that. And we're not in control of all the many storms, the different types of storms in our lives. But here's something I want you to think about. There will always be a chance of a storm. It doesn't mean the storm comes. That's some of the stresses that we have too. We know there's always a chance, and because there's a chance, we think, well, it's a given. It's coming. It's going to blow right through our lives. Here it comes. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. But even if it does happen, what we need to remember is something very, very important. And this is that part of that relaxed stage to where we let the peace of God just settle down in us. What we need to realize is that even if the storm does come, we have a shelter. I've been trying to get Lizzie to understand this for a while. If you're a child around here, maybe if you're an adult, you have this problem too. And I'm not saying I'm really exempt, because every time I look at the weather or hear a siren, I think, oh, here we go. Go to work again, right? But I've been trying to work with her. She don't understand the concept of where we live and where we don't live. And the way that it works, if we go under a tornado warning, what usually happens? All over Limestone County, you hear those sirens go off, right? And I won't even emulate that sound, because I hate that sound. That's how I just despise that sound. I don't want to hear it, because I know what it means. But the other night, as the storms went through the south part of Limestone County, we're at home, and she can hear the siren up at Lester there at West Limestone from where we're at. She can hear it, and she runs in there, and she says, Daddy, the tornado siren's going off. I said, yes, baby, it is. She says, is it coming here? And I said, no, baby. She says, but I hear it. I was like, it's not coming here. It's going for the south part of the county, and it goes off for all of us. But what if it does? I says, then we'll go crawl in that hole in the garage. It'll be okay. And I tell her that time and time again, Lizzie, we've got a storm shelter. If it comes here, it's fine. But you know, as much as I try to stay on her about that, are we not the same way? We've got a shelter that'll shield us from any storm in life. And every time we hear a siren, we panic. And we think, oh, what are we going to do? We've got a shelter. And that shelter is Jesus Christ. He controls the storm, and He loves you and me. I'll tell you what. Psalm 127 and in verse 2, it is in vain that we rise up early and sit up late and eat the bread of sorrows. We waste a lot of energy and time doing that because that doesn't fix anything. But Jesus calms the storm. We need to relax. Even Jesus said in John chapter 14 before He left His disciples, peace I leave you with and peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, because that's not possible. But do not let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. Relax. Jesus says, relax, you can be free, I've got you. And we need to respond to that, just as it says in verse 8 and in verse 9. And finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, lovely, of good report, if there's any virtue, and there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you've learned and received in her and saw in me. Do these things, and the God of peace will be with you. The question is, how can I find good in a world full of bad? Maybe talk to Guy. He's really good at that. How can I find so much good in a world full of so much bad? Well, you've got to look beyond the walls of the storm, I believe. You've got to choose to focus on the good things. Will the bad always be there? Sure. But I go back to the song again. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. You choose to do that. And that always outnumbers the bad. Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Is that not our message this morning? If you want to be free indeed, you've got to be focused on the one who can make you free. So many times our focus goes in other directions. And that's why I'm not free. That's why you're not free. That's why sometimes I put myself back into bondage of something that my Lord has already released me from. And it shouldn't be that way. What do you struggle with the most this morning? I want you to think about that. I'm thinking about myself. I've kind of already admitted some of those things to you. But what do you struggle with this morning? Do you struggle with the rejoicing part? Do you struggle with the worshiping part? Do you not count your blessings enough? If that's the case, let's do better. Maybe this morning you struggle more with the letting go and releasing part. If that's the case, ask God to help you to do that. Pray more. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe we need to pray more. Release it. Let go of it. Do you have struggles with relaxing this morning? I know I do sometimes. I get so much on my mind. But maybe sometimes we need to realize that we're not in control of the storm and we need to relax because the one who is can deal with it. He's proven himself time and time again. Christ is battle tested. He's storm proven. He's always brought his people through. Why do we worry? Maybe we need to relax more. Maybe we need to respond with those good thoughts, focusing on the good that God has done. But it's imperative, friends, that we master each step and focus on the one, as Ephesians chapter 3 says, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. The lesson this morning is very simple. We need to quit worrying so much about the storms of life, and we need to allow ourselves to be free indeed, because that was God's purpose in Christ for you. And if we can help you with that this morning, we would love to. We're going to stand and sing the song of invitation, and the Lord's invitation is extended to you today. And it says simply this: if you're way down in the cares of this life and you need the prayers of the Lord's people to help you, we're here for you. God is ready to answer your beckoning call, and you can be free indeed. This morning, if you're not a Christian, His invitation to you says this: you're in sin, and you don't have the blood of Christ, and you're lost. And that's not okay. But what is okay is that God has put a plan in place for you so that you can be free indeed. And it starts with baptism. It starts in the washing in His blood. Freedom like you've never had before. We can be free indeed, but it only comes through the Son. If we can help you in any way today, won't you come while we stand?